All right, let's go to a time of just sharing. Let's think about that time. He really talked about it in depth. If someone has their Bible, could they look up Matthew 14 for us?
Could I say something?
Yeah, please. Go ahead, jump in.
So yep. You're talking about gratitude and feeling yep. better. But there are moments when you're working so hard that it's hard to be grateful for what you have. I mean, you always want a better car or a nicer house or new furniture or something like that. But there are moments when it's like, oh my gosh, I'm working so hard. I'm not grateful for anything, you know? So anyway.
Yeah, that's true. And we need to take a pause and look at what God has given to us. And chiefly, that's Jesus. So great, great, great comment, Kathy. Read aloud the beginning of the story of Peter walking on the water in Matthew chapter 14. Why do you think Jesus didn't go with his disciples on the boat? So I don't know if you caught that. But here's the passage. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain to pray by himself. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Why do you think Jesus didn't get under the boat with the disciples? Any thoughts on that? Joan, I hear you speaking.
I say he needed that alone time. We all do.
Okay. And what was he doing in his alone time?
Praying with his father.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on why Jesus would leave him in the boat all alone, heading into a storm?
He knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. But why would he send these people into a storm? Oh, man. It's crazy.
The other side.
Perhaps he wanted them to realize that they could do something about their anxiety instead yep. of just being, you know, kind of throwing up their hands. Oh, we're in such a terrible state.
Anyone else want to share thoughts on that? I don't have an answer, just something to think about.
The test. It was a test.
Okay, yeah. The old Lutheran answer, God does not tempt anyone, right? But he does test us. Right. Great. Sorry.
We can see you.
Yeah. I just on my computer screen, I lost you. All right. Let's go to that second one.
What was Jesus doing?
Okay. Well, we're going to go to this one.
Oh, okay.
Peter's prayer to Jesus as the waves tossed the boat was not eloquent. It was simple, direct, even desperate. The passage here is Luke 18. According to this parable, what kind of prayer is heart-honoring to God? If you have your Bibles, this passage, Luke 18, is about a Pharisee who gives a really elegant and eloquent prayer to God. And then someone else stands up and says, Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus says, you know, this is the kind of prayer that God hears. So what kind of prayer is heart-honoring to God?
Well, I would imagine when you are thankful for something, anything, small things. Instead of asking God for things all the time, there are things you can be thankful for if you just think about them.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, humility, of course. Humility is a big part of it, that without God, I can do nothing.
Yep. Ruth, were you going to say something?
I was thinking of admission. Admitting who you really are.
Honesty about who we are and maybe the trouble that we have. Being realistic. Yep. Great answers. All right. This next question is, in the video teaching, Max stressed the importance of being specific with our request to God. When you pray, do I can't read that word.
The tend.
Detailed.
I can't see
it. Do you tend to be detailed or vague? What do you think? Why do you think you have this tendency, that should say? Why would a vague prayer be a little more comforting?
Well, you think you've covered all your bases by not being specific.
Okay.
I kind of have a tendency to be more vague, I think, because I think God has a plan. I just plan, so to be too detailed is setting myself up for failure. expectations, you know, I mean, you know, just, yeah, I think I tend to be vague because I believe he has a plan.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Thank you for being honest, Trudy. Man, if you kind of leave it vague, then God can't fail you, right? Or you might think, well, if I leave it vague, then, or it could be a statement of faith that God really can't do the thing that you're wanting to do. So you kind of lessen it so that God could do what you, who knows? So other reasons to keep it vague.
Perhaps.
I think it depends on prayer, whether you are vague or specific sometimes, you know, because sometimes you feel desperate and you just, you know, you don't pay attention to whether it's specific or vague, either one. You just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't know how or what to pray.
Yeah, sometimes we don't know what to pray or how to pray. Those are good answers. What about the thought of? Yeah, go ahead, Bob. Yeah.
On the other side, you know, we're we're not always too detailed on our requests for forgiveness either. And our confession of sins, we'd rather be vague about it than to really specify exactly what we did wrong.
Oh, all right.
That's because of the
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's a great point, Bob. If you look at the old Lutheran hymnal, that you actually would have it would actually ask the person to actually think of a specific thing that they had done. And then doesn't that allow for God's forgiveness to really sink in when you name it very specifically? So there's a, you know, there's a goodness in the old, you know, that old confessional in the Roman Catholic Church where the person would come and, oh, Father, you know,
forgive me
this God. Last week I did X, Y, and Z. There's a sense of, there's a goodness in that you are naming, you're really putting it out there specifically. And then the only problem with that, that Lutherans would have, is that the priest wouldn't forgive him on the spot. He would kind of say, oh, here's a couple Hail Marys and, you know, do some Lord's Prayer and then everything's forgiven. Nope. As Lutherans, we forgive right on the spot, whatever it is. But boy, it's beautiful to have that specific statement. Yep. We can't feel God's forgiveness if we're not specific. All right, so let's just move on to this last point, this gratefulness. All right, so...
One more reason we might leave it vague is because maybe we feel like we don't deserve what we really want to ask for, and if we leave it vague, maybe we'll get it even though we don't deserve it.
Okay, Jonathan says we leave our prayers vague. So that we don't think that we deserve it. Yeah, and I would add too, I wonder if we make vague prayers because we may come across as demanding to God and we don't want to come across as demanding. Like, that's rude to kind of say that to God. He's God, he's in charge. All right, so we get to this... This place of gratitude. I'll go ahead. Does anyone have their Bibles out?
Yes.
Can you look up Philippians 4, 11 through 13?
Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah, can you share that, Carol?
Not that I complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in him who strengthens me.
Great. Awesome. So, by the way, when Paul writes that, you'd think that he was going through a great time in life, but what we know is that actually he was actually in prison. And we know that he had been beaten. We know that he had been kicked out of towns. We know that he had been arrested. We know that he had been silenced. He had experienced shipwreck. He had been slashed. This is all in 1 Corinthians, he tells us. So how is he able to find contentment in all things?
I think that episode in his life where Jesus confronted him was so powerful that that set his foot on the way he would behave from then on.
Okay, Joan says that he had a showing of Jesus in his life, and which we know from Acts, and that was so big that he held on to it for his entire life. By the way, that little, to highlight maybe what you're saying there, Joan, in the book of Philippians, Jesus is mentioned, so there's 104 verses in that book. The name Christ or Jesus is mentioned 40 times. So at every two verses or every two or three verses, he's mentioning Jesus. You might get the picture, man, this guy's obsessed with Jesus. But you see, as long as he had Jesus, it didn't really matter if things were going well or if things were not going great. So,
magnificent obsession.
All right, let's speak specifically here. What area or circumstance in your life do we find ourselves complaining the most? What area or circumstance in your life do you find yourself complaining the most?
I think I complain about people who make me angry. People who do, just to do things that make me angry. That bothers me the most, I think.
Okay.
But you can't overcome that, I don't understand.
For me, it's uninvited interruptions. like the caller that always calls me and says I need to get new car insurance or something.
Yep. Anybody else? What circumstances or areas are causing you to complain?
Oh, also, if I make silly little mistakes, mm-hmm. I complain about me.